When you need help on social media, the social media platforms don't exactly make it easy, but that may be changing. With more on that now, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. Are things about to get easier?
Morning, Bob. So reports say that this is in its very early stages, but Meta, which is the company behind Facebook and Instagram and all those other apps that we love, they're exploring adding a customer service division. And honestly, it's always been amazing to me that this doesn't already exist.
Yeah, no kidding. Any idea why they haven't had this all along?
Honestly, not really. I mean, it's definitely important. And back in the earliest days of Facebook, if you needed some help, you could go through steps on the website and you can get some kind of answer. And it was never perfect, but it was at least something. Then as time went on, Facebook got really huge and customer service was pretty much just relegated to a help section on the website somewhere. And as Facebook continues to grow, even now, that help section just got more and more unwieldy. And right now, at very best, it's a mess of links that's really hard to navigate.
So a customer service division seems to make a lot of sense, right?
Well, it seems that way on the surface, Bob, but I think Facebook is way too big to try to start something like this right now. I mean, think about it. Facebook has its own troubles trying to moderate content and keeping dangerous things off its platform, right? And it has tens of thousands of people, if not more, devoted to just that task alone. So what it would take to have a working customer service division that serves billions of people, I'm having a hard time imagining the scale. And, you know, getting back to the earlier point, Facebook should have started with this something like this, you know, from the very beginning. And even if a page full of links was a good idea at the time, what that page has turned into is just something that's pretty much unmanageable. So if I need Facebook's help, I'm really not sure where to go.
And that's really the main issue, isn't it? That people don't know where to go.
It truly is, Bob. I mean, people dread the thought of having to reach out to customer service on a Meta platform. And I know people who have needed help from both Facebook and Instagram, and in some cases, they were honestly never able to get it.
So no matter what happens with this project, it's not going to be anytime soon, according to the reporting. So what should a person do right now if they need help?
Well, it's a good question. I would say start at the source. Start on Facebook or Instagram, go to the help page, the one we just talked about that's unwieldy, but the help page for Facebook is facebook.com/help. The help page for Instagram is help.instagram.com. I will say that the layout of the pages has improved over time, especially when you access it from a mobile phone. But people still say that finding an answer is overwhelming on these sites, but I would still start there.
Yeah, and I don't know how they can deal with the public on this, because don't they have their hands full just trying to police the site for content that shouldn't be up there?
Exactly. And I mean, one would think that this would be completely separate of something like that, and finding a way to create a customer service division, you know, with... Yeah, that's the thing. They have to have tens of thousands of people, if not more, available to do those things. So I do think they have their hands full. It'll be really interesting to see how they can make something like this work.
So can people reach out to someone like you if they find all of this overwhelming?
Well, they can, but there's one step that I would recommend first, and that is Google the question. I know that sounds simple, but Google the question. And the reason for that is so many people have turned to search engines for help when they couldn't find it on the Meta sites. So, you know, I don't think this is going to be easy, but sometimes you find something that has happened to someone else that matches your problem, and Google is able to unite everyone in that regard. But as far as reaching out to someone like me, absolutely. But the one thing to remember is I don't have any magic powers when it comes to finding things. I may know something from a previous experience, but ultimately I wish, but I don't have any specific contacts where I can get a faster answer.
You have no magic powers? No. we'll take a little break and get you the weather and traffic info, and then we'll talk about Facebook and Instagram, and also Apple and what they may be coming out with tomorrow. More with Scott Kleinberg on the way. Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and we're talking about Facebook and Instagram. What about the other social media platforms, Scott?
Well, I find them to be very much the same in terms of user friendliness, Bob. And, you know, but all the platforms, they at least have some sort of help site, which is good. On Twitter, you can go to help.twitter.com. On LinkedIn, you can go to help.linkedin.com. When in doubt, go to help.thenameofthesite.com. You usually can find something there. And there's one thing worth noting. We're talking about the most basic social media use cases here. Businesses that spend a lot of money on paid social media, like ads, may have access to a representative who can answer questions. But again, that's a specific use case that doesn't apply to the majority of people who are listening to us right now.
That sounds like an opportunity there. Do you think people will be willing to pay more money for an option like that?
Well, that's a good question. I think it depends on the situation. I don't think that customer service should ever come with a cost. I also don't believe that paying for social media ads should entitle you to better customer service than the people who don't use ads. That's why part of me really hopes that this customer service experiment actually works, because it's long overdue.
Yeah, that reminds me, last week we were talking about the Twitter edit feature and whether people are going to pay more. And after, I think about a day after, I read about that. It was all over the news everywhere. What's that called? Twitter what? What is it?
It's called Twitter Edit, which is exactly like it sounds. It lets you edit a tweet. But the thing is, it's being tested right now. Not everybody has it. Some people do. But the thing that people are finding out is what we mentioned last week, that it's not this edit button where you can go back 3 months from now and change a tweet. You basically have a set amount of time from when you send it, so like 30 minutes or something, and then you can undo it and redo it, but you can't go back for a long period of time. I think that's what people are going to be very surprised by.
And then there's some charge, premium charge for Twitter Green or Twitter Blue or whatever they're calling it, Twitter Blue.
Yep, Twitter Blue, $4.99 a month. And they said, this is interesting, they had said that the edit feature was going to be part of Twitter Blue. Now it seems like it's going to be available for everyone, which is probably a good move, because you don't want to make people pay for a feature they've been asking for 16 years. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the Twitter Blue thing and the $4.99, I mean, even that doesn't come with any special level of customer service. So, you know, it's just whether or not it's worth it, I don't think it is.
With all of the charges for all these streaming services that add up, I don't see where many people are going to sign up and start paying Twitter extra money. Do you?
Totally agree. No, there's way too much to pay for, and there are things that we realize we have to pay for. Like if you want to stay up on a streaming TV show, that makes some sort of sense. It's like a cable channel. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about social media, something that you've been using for free all along, and all of a sudden they want to charge more, I mean, obviously there's a business sense here, but for, as far as customer service and as far as, you know, the personal experience, I don't think that's going to fly at all.
And if someone has a problem and can't get to customer service on any other platform, they want to talk to you about it, what's the best way for them to reach you, Scott?
Well, Bob, I actually created a Gmail address for people who want to reach out to me. It's easier than doing that than social media. The Gmail address is digitalstrategy101@gmail.com, digitalstrategy101@gmail.com. And like I was saying before, I can't always promise you that I'll have the answer, but if you write me and you have a question, I'll always do my very best to help you.
All right, and people can always email or text us for the Genius Bar questions for Scott, otherwise digitalstrategy101@gmail.com. Let's take a moment here to talk about what's going to happen tomorrow, Scott, with Apple unveiling new gadgets, and I guess the iPhone 14, is it? What are you expecting?
Well, the iPhone 14 is going to be the centerpiece. Everybody loves a new iPhone. I think it's going to be, I mean, there's a lot of talk about how the camera is going to improve. It usually does, about how that notch at the top is going to get smaller and smaller, the place for the camera. That's probably going to happen as well. One of the things that's getting not as much attention that I think could be important is the upgrade to an always-on display. And what that means is right now when you put your phone down, it turns off after a certain period of time. The screen goes black because you're trying to save the battery and save the screen. An always-on display would make it so it's always dim, very dim, but it would have the information that you need. So it would have your clock, it would have your temperature, or whatever kinds of things you need, and it would always stay on. This is something right now that the newest Apple Watches have, and it's a feature that I do not know how I would live without it if I didn't have it. So I'm pretty pretty excited about the fact that it could be coming to a new phone, but I think something like that's going to actually require an iPhone 14. It's not going to work with an older phone based on software. I think it's a hardware thing.
And as the Wall Street Journal reports today, the question among many investors is how long can demand, which has been at record heights, last for the iPhone during this this economy? What do you think?
You know what's amazing about that question and that thought, Bob? Everybody says that with every release. I can remember back to the iPhone 6 and 7. People were like, how can this demand possibly continue all this time? And the thing is, new iPhone is like a kid on Christmas morning opening that present that they've been waiting for all year. People get excited about it no matter what. And I don't know how it happens, honestly, but I think there's always going to be demand for a new iPhone, because even though some of the features are incremental, they're the features that people want, like the better camera, the always on. Those types of things always keep people coming back.
Yeah, we like our gadgets. We may not be lining up at the store, at the Apple store like we used to, but yeah, you're right. Demand just never seems to go away, does it?
Exactly. I think, iPhone 14, next will be the 15, that's going to be a pretty interesting event. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, heaven forbid we hang on to a gadget for longer than a year. Scott, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.